When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome back to the Goldmine Podcast. This is Patrick Prince, editor of Goldmine. And we have for this episode, the artist Johannes. And Johannes is becoming a regular on the podcast just because he has designed so many album covers from bands, from everyone from the Guess Who to smaller metal bands like Liege Lord on Metal Blade Records. And recently, for our fall 2023 issue, we had Lynyrd Skynyrd on the cover because they're on tour with ZZ Top, or they were, and they're continuing in their tour. Anyway, so Johannes, for a collector's edition, which you can only get in our store at shop.goldminemag.com, a collector's edition with an alternate Lynyrd Skynyrd cover, which is artwork by Johannes, a slip cover, also artwork by Johannes, and an 8x10 professional print, which is signed by Johannes. And it's, again, it's artwork. This is all Lynyrd Skynyrd artwork. It's been on their album covers, and we'll go over that. And first of all, Johannes, how you doing?
Oh, pretty good. It was great to be back on the podcast again and talk to you. And it's a lot of fun.
I know you'll be back again, because there are other bands that, well, you're working on different covers, and you've just done certain album covers. But let's talk about Lynyrd Skynyrd. How did you come to meet Lynyrd Skynyrd, their management and the guys in Skynyrd? I know, you know, a lot of people know right now that the vocalist is Johnny Van Zandt. And actually from Blackfoot is the guitarist, Ricky Medlock. Medlock's been there for quite some time.
He was with them originally when they reformed, and then I think he left, right? Or maybe I don't know their history that well, but I think he either left before they recorded their first album, or maybe he was on the first album, I'm not really sure. But he left, and you know, then he went on to his own band, and I think Live with the Outlaws. And so they were always friends. They always worked together. They always jammed together. So it just made natural sense for him after Blackfoot, which was his band, to come back. I met them. I had met the president of the record label, Tom Lipsky, at a convention in the summer of 1994. Was 94, maybe 95. Actually, I think it was 95. And after I had done artwork for the Allman Brothers. Tom had seen the album and he really liked the artwork. So we met. It was a heavy metal convention. It was out in Los Angeles. And I was there because there was a number of projects I was working on. I was introduced to him, and he had started his record company, CMC Records. They just secured a deal with BMG, and he was looking, you know, he was putting people in place. And, you know, we hit it off, had a great discussion. He said, you know, I'd love for you to do some work for some of my bands. some of my stuff, except I don't have anybody signed yet. The only thing, I think the only act he had signed was Yngwie Malmsteen, I remember, which I wound up doing artwork for Yngwie anyways later. Come in, I think it was the summer or so, spring actually, of 97, I got a call from Tom and he said, hey, listen, you know, I've got a whole number of projects and I want you to work on these. So, you know, we made a deal and it was a pretty whirlwind next few months for me, because I, in a period of 2 months, I did a compilation album, which was Steppenwolf, Blue Oyster Cult, Pat Travers. They all toured together, and they released like this sort of, each one of them doing a live track together to sort of promote the tour. So that was my first project for CMC, and then it was Styx had Reform, so I was doing a cover for Styx, Dokken, Slaughter, and then Lynyrd Skynyrd. So I knew that the band had reformed a couple of years prior. They were just starting to get back together again, and I didn't know who was in the band. Their management at the time was one of their old managers, and he was operating out of New York City. So I remember I packed up my stuff and I went down there to meet him, and that's how we started. At the time, in the original, at that band, it was pretty much intact. I mean, Powell on keyboards, the original member, Leon Wilkinson on bass, the original guy. They had Huey Thompson from the Outlaws on guitar, Gary Rossington, of course, who sort of ran the roost, Johnny's younger brother was the lead vocalist, Ricky Medlock, and I forget the drummer off the top of my head, my apologies to the drummer, it was Gail Collins, you know, which is Gary's wife, was in background vocals with another young lady. And that was the band. And they were getting back together, and it was going to be the anniversary of when the plane crash happened.
Right, 20 years.
Which
comes to their 9th studio album, which you did the artwork for, was released in 97.
Yep.
And it's called 20.
Right. And that's what it was to commemorate the 20 years since, yeah.
Right. And we have in this collector's edition, we have an 8x10 professional archival print. That comes with the bundle, and maybe you can explain it a little bit, but the cover is kind of like, it's like driving into a Utah landscape, right? Red Rock formations.
The artwork actually, what happened is I had some ideas of what I wanted to do. You know, they told me the title was going to be 20, but I didn't even know the title. Now that I think of it, I remember. They asked me, they told me just to come in, you know, bring my stuff and everything. So I drew up some ideas and I went to, I went to the meeting in New York, we sat down, and I was showing my stuff to the manager. I was showing him some of the ideas and I thought they were pretty on target, although I didn't have an idea of the title. And Joe Boylan, that was the name of the manager, and he's looking at the stuff, and they had released a prior album with a guy that I worked with a lot, Mark Weiss, which is a great rock photographer. Me and Mark have done a whole bunch of projects together. They had released sort of like a live album. Mark had done the artwork on that. So I was going sort of that approach, you know, that Southern rock thing, but he didn't really like any of them. So I said, I'm thinking of the back of my head, I've done enough pitches in my life to know that when this is going the right way or this is not going to work out. So it's feeling like, well, you know, this is, I'm thinking in my mind, you know, this is the, you know, I'm striking out here. This is, you know, we're not going to connect here and this is not going to work. He's going to call, you know, Tom and say, you know, listen, you're a designer. And just, you know, he's not cut for this project. So just before I was sort of packing up, he goes, don't you have anything else you can show me, any other stuff? I said, well, I've got all these, you know, I've got a book of some of my paintings. And he said, oh, can I look at that? And I'm like, yeah, sure. You know, I'm looking at him. And so he's flipping through it. I had just gotten back into doing, because I design covers all kinds of ways. I do paintings, I do digital, I do photographic concepts, collages, you know, whatever it takes to get the idea done, you know, graphic stuff. But I just started, you know, with the Olin Brothers, I had done a painting and I started doing some more paintings. And he's flipping through it, all of a sudden he spots this image. He goes, what's that? And I said, oh, so that was an idea I was developing for another band, actually. He said, well, we have a song called Voodoo Lake. That looks like it. And he goes, and look at that. He goes, that's like a free bird flying there, you know? That's perfect. I'm like, I said, well, it's got sort of more like a Western theme than a Southern rock theme. He goes, yeah, yeah, but it, you know, West, it looks great. You know, can we use that? And I'm like, yeah, sure. He goes, yeah, I have some ideas. Let me show it to the guys. And you could only do faxes and stuff. You could send color stuff. You're talking the 90s now, right? Photoshop was just starting to come into shape and so on. So I remember I said, well, let me go back, I said, and comp it up in color and give you a comp with the logos and everything. And then you could show it, which was the same process I used when I had done the Olin Brothers. When I did that for them to describe the idea, I did a color sketch with an overlay where the logo was going to be placed and the lettering and everything. So it sort of looked like a, you know, a comp of the actual album cover, so they get a thing. So he's like, yeah, 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 great. So I go and I do it. What I found out is all he had done, he said, he had just made like a Xerox copy in black and white, and then he just sent a fax over to the band of the idea, which I don't know how the hell the fax came out looking like. So here I went to like all this trouble to do this, is like really high-end color comps and everything. And all they saw is like, I mean, I could have drawn the thing with a black magic marker and it wouldn't make no difference whatsoever. And so anyways, they get the artwork, they call me up and they're like thrilled, and they go, something that I did regret doing between us is, so he said, can I have sort of like in like Mount Rushmore, the faces of the band members on the rocks? Ooh. And I'm like, it's just my album. I wanted them to be pleased. So on the actual pressing of the album, I sort of digitally on the painting, I put in sort of the faces, ghost-like, of the main band members that they wanted. But I always regretted doing that because I didn't think it worked as well as when you left the painting as it was. And as a matter of fact, in plenty of columns and reviews, including our old friend Monty Connor, who reviews album covers, you know, Monty, you know, he's also, you know, he had his own record label and everything, mentioned that how much he loved the original painting as it was and really wished that, you know, I had left it alone and not done the faces on that. I told him, I agree, I always regretted it. And I'm thinking in later reproductions and copies and repressings, it's the original painting, which is what you guys have, the print that we made.
Yes.
Which is what I did. So so you guys are, you know, begin to see it in all its glory. So this is a special customized mini print that I've done of that, hand signed the original painting as it was, that was used, and it was massively popular. I mean, the band, they were ecstatic at the results. Sold a ton of merchandising. All the guys wanted to meet me, so I went, you know, to the concerts. I met them backstage. They all sent me photographs, hand sign, you know, thank you, and you know, Joe said, you know, they were so overwhelmed that, like, they were crying when they were looking at the artwork. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. Are you serious?
I think it captures the spirit of the band, right? I mean, you said that maybe it's not right away, you didn't think it was Southern rock, but it's the outlaw spirit that it captures of the band. Like a song like Voodoo Lake, which it captures perfectly. And they have a song called Traveling Man.
Which, you know,
again, that's like an outlaw type song. And, you know, it has nothing to do with the fact that Huey Thomason was in the Outlaws, but it, you know, it just, a lot of the songs capture that restless spirit, you know, of traveling through the Wild West wilderness, which this is. And, you know, they're making a new beginning. I know I'm tying this all in metaphorically, but they're making a new beginning. It's 20 years from a tragic, tragic scene in rock history, the plane crash of Lynyrd Skynyrd, and a fresh start and carrying on the spirit of the original band. And I just thought it was a nice piece. And, you know, you can get the original artwork now in this collector's edition. Maybe you can tell the listener what kind of print it is. It's an archival print. It's on an
archival. Yeah, it's an archival print. It's on a high gloss archival silk paper, and it's with a 7-ink archival ink process, so it doesn't fade, and it's hand signed and numbered. And it was, you know, when I approach, by the way, to do these things, being obviously a huge music fan myself, which is the whole reason I got into this business, is I always, when I meet with a band, I always try to put myself in the frame of mind of their fans. So I'm glad I'm really happy you picked up on that, because that's really what I try to do. I try to connect with the fans in their thinking process, what they expect, how they feel about the band, how the music motivates them, how it makes them feel. So I want my visual ideas to reflect that, as opposed to imposing my own style or my own thinking on that.
Right, and it's not just that sort of cowboy restlessness. It's more, it's also kind of tackles the Native American freedom, you know, freedom of all this land to be on before, you know, we came on it. And the album cover is like a fictional drawing of the Navajo reservation, right, of Monument Valley. And so it's wonderful.
Yeah, it's got sort of a sense of surrealism to it, but you're right. It harkens that spirit. That's, I mean, really, the music of the song Freebird, or their music sort of
pretty much Traveling Man, the freedom.
Yeah, reflected, you know, in my mind, I was Simple Man. You listen to their music, you try to do that. And I guess we really kind of connected, because then I became their sort of go-to guy for like the next 6 or 7 years.
Well, you did the next album too, right?
Yeah, I did the next album release, and I did 2 compilation albums.
Edge of Forever, which is...
The Edge of Forever really kind of continued the theme, you know, with the train tracks sort of heading off into, you know, into distance, and they adore that. I mean, what was great about that one, I remember, well, actually for both, but they had these massive backdrops painted of the artwork, and it was just really cool to go see them live and just watch the whole stage, you know, transform into my record cover, essentially, which was just really very cool.
Well, the next piece of artwork that we included in this collector's edition is on the cover and on a slipcase.
Yeah.
Guitar emerging from a swamp and it's called.
Yeah, that was for the compilation of the best of Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Now it has old tracks by the original lineup and new hits post crash lineup. And you know, it's got songs like Saturday Night Special, Preacher Man, Voodoo Lake, which was on the album we were talking about, and of course the classics like Sweet Home Alabama and Free Bird. And excuse me, I love this album cover because it reminds you, again, you're in the wilderness, the swamp, and then you have this sort of guitar coming out of the swamp like King Arthur's legend almost.
Oh, you know, actually, that's pretty much what influenced it. Yeah, you're right. I pick up on that. Because it was, I think I seen the movie Excalibur when I was a kid, and I like that image like stuck in my head.
Right. Grab this guitar rising out of the bayou,
you know?
Right. And you'll be free and powerful. So I really like that image.
Somebody actually named the painting. They called it Free Bird on the Bayou. It's what the guitar being Free Bird. It's Free Bird on the Bayou was the actual title. And, the background came obviously from, the roots. That's why I picked that kind of background when I did that piece. And it was, that sold a ton of merch. They love that image. They did really well. I had a lot of fun with them. We did all kinds of crazy stuff. Actually, the craziest project we did together was, there was a Lynyrd Skynyrd Christmas album that they cut.
Yeah.
So... the cover that I did was, we had, Santa Claus driving a pickup truck, and there was the Lynyrd Skynyrd logo on the pickup truck and, in a snowscape and everything.
Oh, Christmas, that was called Christmas Time Again.
Christmas Time Again, right. So I did that. I remember I even designed a cutout that I have still in my office, a cutout of the Christmas Time Again display. Yeah. That CMC had done. But I tell you, of all of the bands that I've met, they were probably the nicest group of guys, no attitude of anybody I've ever met. And, they had a right to. Gary Rossington, which, breaks my heart, we lost him this year. He was just one of the kindest guys, always like, share a joint with you, Yeah, he'd come in and he was always like, hey, what's going on, man? He was always,
it was a regular dude.
It's the artist dude. they always, nobody ever got my name right, of course.
Right.
Ricky always had a great attitude, a lot of fun. They were all just great guys. They were so gracious. It's weird. You go backstage, they did like a couple of bands, up here. I went to Hartford to see them at the Meadowlands. The place was a zoo. It was like packed to the gills. And the band, I forget who the other band was they were touring with that year. But, they got an attitude and everything, and there were they were just the opening act. And you went back there, and these guys were like, your long-lost cousins, back there, They're like, hey, look, Johannes, we got brownies today, It's just, backstage and coffee and everything. And they just couldn't be gracious enough. And it was wild, man. But their fans, they love their fans. And it was just a great atmosphere, great people. I guess maybe they had gone through so much that they were just so thankful to be back doing it and everything. And God bless them. I mean, they went on to get bigger and better. I mean, I watched the audience grow all over again. I think I mentioned that to you off when we were having a conversation. I remember the audience that they had, and I was a surprise. It was mostly, middle age guys in their 40s, 50s, whatever, truck driver gang, I would call them, and motorcycle guys and everything, come to see them. By the last time I went there and the place was packed, I saw a ton of college kids now all of a sudden. And it's just, they grew their audience again. Same thing with the Allman Brothers.
They talk about that in the,
it's great how they connected.
The cover feature interview I think it was Ricky Medlock talks about how younger fans come up and say, you know, thank God you're here to play live, because we would never get a chance to see Lynyrd Skynyrd music live on stage, and you guys have a wonderful connection to the original band. So it is great. And, you know, you had this, to be able to do this great compilation album too, Then and Now. And then, you know, that was a connection to the old original lineup too. And then there was another Then and Now too, a volume two, right?
Yep.
Were you part of that?
Yeah, I did that one also, which continued the theme,
right,
that we did.
Two guitars locked this time.
Yeah, I don't know what's. I mean, the only thing that I have not seen yet, and I'm hoping, is a lot of the CMC releases, a lot of them didn't make, you know, you were right in the smack of, you know, CD was king, right? And a lot of things didn't come out as vinyl. Now they're starting to come back out as vinyl. Like right. The Oyster Cult album cover that I did, it just came out as vinyl, which is the Curse of the Hidden Mirror. So I think these all reverted back to Universal. MCA has them. But as far as I'm aware, there haven't been, which I think they're going to happen sooner or later, which I can't wait, vinyl reissues of, or vinyl issues of these things. Because right now you can only get them on CD, all the album covers that I did for Skynyrd.
I think it's owned by BMG now, the company. I'm not sure.
Maybe. I thought most, well, CMC
Sanctuary sold, Records?
Sold to Sanctuary.
Right.
That became the parent company that took over the whole catalog, and but Sanctuary was sold to Universal.
Okay,
Styx is in the same boat. Like I said, a lot of these things, and considering everybody and their mother, everything is being re-released out on vinyl again, either re-released on vinyl or being issued for the first time that was never on vinyl.
Yeah, thank God. I mean, some I love CDs too, but I think you should have.
I'm surprised. Yeah, Skynyrd has them. They keep repackaging their stuff. Universal is, but it's always the first decade. You know, the 70s albums. They're not even touching the 80s or the 90s of them yet. And I think there's, you know, when they do it, so this will be a great project for them to do.
I think so too.
And speaking of audiences, the something that I never would have imagined when I was a teenager has become very dominant in our generation that we see now, is what's happened to Skynyrd and all the legacy bands, from Black Sabbath to Judas Priest to you name it, Deep Purple, and so on. And that is the fact now that you go to these concerts and you do have a massive mix of audience, and lots of times it's, you're literally seeing the dad, possibly even the granddad and the son all going to see the same band. You know, I mean, think of it, you know, if you were into Skynyrd and you were in your 30s, you're a granddad now, back in the 70s, and your son, who's a teen, you know, is into it now, you know, so you'll get like a really strange audiences, you know, you're getting the full boat, and financially that is a boon for these bands also, you know,
because
the older audience has the deeper pockets and they can buy all kinds of merch items because it's a huge nostalgia thing, you know.
Plus, Goldmine's bread and butter.
Oh yeah,
legacy acts, and you know, it's like kind of like how items become antiques or items become memorabilia after, say, 20 plus years. That's what Goldmine's about, the legacy artists, the not just collecting, but the music history, the whole legacy of an artist. And so that's why we'll be having you on again to talk about other acts, like the controversial The Guess Who, so who you did artwork for the new album. We'll be talking to you about that, and like you said, you brought up the Allman Brothers, and you know, if people go to shop.goldmindmag.com and buy this collector's edition for $20-something. It's worth it. And it's on Leonard Skinner for the fall 2023 issue, expanded collection in a bundle. But there's also one that you did on the Allman Brothers last year, I believe. And that's a cool one to have too. And I think there are a few copies left of that as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of activity going on with the Allman Brothers, a number right. of 20 bands that are out or members of the family and so on. And
right.
a couple of the ex-members are still touring. But the band's music is just, I'm amazed how, I mean, they were always great musicians, but I never thought they would be as big. I mean, you could questionably say that by the 90s, yeah. the early 2000s, they had become as popular as they were back in the mid 70s. I watched them from one date. When I started working with them, they just had like one date at the Beacon, to selling out for the whole month of the Beacon and at outrageous prices, where those concerts were pre-sold a year in advance. It was just incredible, those tours.
Well, what I like about this Leonard Skinner art too is that, of course,
it's great.
Of course, the Leonard Skinner albums of the 70s are classic, but I think that the artwork of the reformed band and the band that's currently out there, there was some wonderful pieces of artwork that includes your work, and Southern rock fans should check this out, because in this collector's edition they get two pieces of artwork, right? One on the cover and slip cover,
right? You get the slip cover, we have the
Now and Then
package,
yeah,
right? And then the print is obviously the stuff. The thing though that I want to point out, the difference though between the Allman Brothers, Skinnerd, why they grew in popularity. Well, even another project that we did together that you're selling, we forgot also to mention, I can bring these guys into the picture, is Uriah Heep.
Yes.
And we have that also. The reason these guys are all doing very well is that they're not just a nostalgia act. They are creating first of all, they're playing incredibly well, and they're creating really great music. Uriah Heep, God bless him, is still turning out amazing records. You know, the Omens, were sort of reborn after Dickey left the band or fired, you know, you have your choice. And then along comes Derek Trucks, and it just reinvigorated the band. They got back into their jam roots, and they just, I mean, they were just on fire at night and created some great new music, including the record that I did, Where It All Begins. There's some great classic music on that. Same thing with, same thing with Skinner. Those, I mean, 20, it was a really good album, you know? And so was Edge Forever. They just had great tracks. These bands, they continue the tradition. I mean, even Deep Purple. I mean, Deep Purple had a rebirth. It's another band I worked with in the 90s. A complete rebirth, you know, when they had Steve Morse come on. And I think that has a lot to do with it. You're not a jukebox that goes out there and plays the hits, but what you do and how you perform. And it seems that all these guys learned their chops when they were young, countless years of playing in bars and playing gigs and learning their craft. And it's just an ability they have not lost. And that's another reason why I think these bands are so relevant today and doing so well.
Yeah. They kick ass live too, let's face
it. Well, that's it. That's it. And where you could fault a lot of the contemporary acts, a lot of them, they're sort of manufactured, in my opinion. Not everybody, but a good number of them were. There's so many techniques in the studio where you can harmonize and do this and do that and cut and paste and so on. And you can sort of, you know, manufacture a song. But, when you go live to play it, you don't have the experience. you don't have the know-how, you don't have the ability, and it falls on its face. And that's where you see these bands. You might like a record, and you go see them live, and they just don't connect. And the reason why is you just can't earn that experience, as opposed to someone like Deep Purple or Jethro Tull, or who played for years, just learning their craft before they broke big, before right. they made it.
Well, thank you once again for coming on the podcast. And listeners, don't forget to go to shop.goldminemag.com to get the collector's edition of the fall 2023. It's on Lynyrd Skynyrd. And we also have a couple others, which, there's one on ZZ Top and there's one on the Eagles. But right now we're talking about the Lynyrd Skynyrd one, which has artwork by Johannes. So we'll be talking to you soon, man. And how
anytime you want. So it's very cool
to talk to you. How can fans of your artwork get in touch with you? We want to make sure we keep pushing that out.
DangerousAge.com is my website. You'll find updates. Obviously, from there you can connect to my Facebook page, my Instagram page, and then obviously there's a store where you can purchase canvas reproductions, hand signed by me and retouched prints. There's even very special limited edition artwork that's hand signed by me and the bands.
Yep.
And you can purchase those serious yep. collector's items, artwork, prints, the whole shebang, whatever you like. We're artists here, got our hand. it's always good to help out a bit, so we always appreciate it. But the real fun is the fans and hanging out with you guys and right. talking to you and so on.
Right. Well, thank you, Johannes. We'll see you again soon on the podcast. And listeners, don't forget to go to goldminemag.com for other content that's not in the print magazine. The print magazine is now quarterly. It's titled by season, spring, summer, fall, winter. You get it. And you can subscribe too if you go to goldminemag.com to get the 4 issues a year. And we also have the shop, which we talked about, shop.goldminemag.com for exclusive items. All right. Well, we'll see you soon on the Goldmine Podcast.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more Fantasy Points.